Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll visit with Congressman Tom Emmer from Minnesota's 6th Congressional District, check with Tee It Up for the Troops, and talk with Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard would like to salute two of our biggest supporters, the Minnesota Vikings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Both teams have shown their overwhelming support of their communities through programs, events, and fundraisers. They also show their support every year to our service members by hosting a Military Appreciation Day. On these nights, both teams make the time to recognize Minnesota service members and their families. I would like to personally thank both teams for their support and your service to this great state of Minnesota.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Congressman Tom Emmer from Minnesota's 6th Congressional District. Congressman Emmer, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's been a while. It's good to see you.
Tom, you're in the studio with us today in a familiar chair. Do you remember how this all works?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
You're going to try.
I'm sure that you will lead me along in a very graceful manner.
Well, I'm getting used to calling you a congressman, but I'm happy to see that you're out there doing some good work. Now, we have to review the rules of the road for this show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, number one, no politics.
Okay.
Number two, no acronyms.
Okay.
Crossing his fingers as he goes. And number three, no cussing.
Well, that's not going to be a problem.
That's an easy one. All right.
Yeah, that's an easy one. My wife will be listening, and so will my mother. So, yeah, no, that won't be a difficult task.
Well, we are talking about Congress today, and
there are a lot of other people that are cussing.
So there might be somebody saying something.
You know how that works, Tom. You get sworn in on January 2nd or 6th, and you immediately start getting sworn at. So that's the way it works.
Well, you used to be on radio, and you were from Minnesota and a pretty nice guy, but now you're a congressman. So
has that changed me?
Well, I hope not, Tom.
No, and it is still Tom, but thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and how's it going out there?
You know, it's been pretty good. It's very humbling. When I got there, I came from, you know, I got in politics just 10 years ago. A lot of people don't realize that. I was raising my family, running a business, complaining about the politicians in St. Paul and Washington, much like a lot of people do. And I have a bride of mine who one day finally said, you know, you're the guy who says if you're not willing to do something about it, you should probably just shut your mouth. So I ran for the state house. I spent 6 years there. I thought my political days were over when I was doing radio, and then this opportunity presented itself, and I felt called to do it. But I got there, Tom, thinking that that state experience, you know, with 201 total legislators in Minnesota, with a governor, and then with, what, 5.3 million, I think, is the last census in 2013, I thought that would translate very well to Washington, D.C. Well, a little different. 535 instead of 201, and you're dealing with over 300 million people, and it moves rather quick. So January, February were very humbling for yours truly, and I think the ball started to slow down for me a little bit towards the end of February. And now 10 months later, I feel pretty good about what we're doing.
So let me see if I got this right. You went from being a practicing attorney to a state legislature to a congressman.
I went from being a lawyer helping people and a state legislator, because when you're in the legislature, you're working your day job at the same time. It's a unique experience. And then I went to radio doing that 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. every day. Like they said, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle. And then I went to Congress, which now they don't even let you own a business. You know that? You have to divest yourself of everything. So it is the sole focus is serving the people of the state of Minnesota in Congress today.
Well, we are teasing, and I know you as a man and a friend, and I know it's all about helping people. So
yeah.
Excuse me for those few little shots, Tom.
No, you know what? We are Minnesotans, Tom. We do not take ourselves that seriously. We need to have a little fun.
That's good. Well, Congressman, we better get to work.
Okay.
Can you tell me what is the National Defense Authorization Act, and did you vote for it?
It funds our defense, our national defense. It's exactly what it says it is. It's the appropriations to fund our national defense. And yes, I did vote for it in the House. And I think you're going to talk about the Senate did it yesterday, I believe. In the House, we voted on it last week. It passed by an overwhelming margin of 370-58, which means that it was a bipartisan major passage. The Bipartisan Budget Act, that it's called, restores $33 billion to defense spending for the fiscal year 2016 and provides 2 years of certainty for our military. I won't go into the details unless you want to talk about certain things. I will say it provides a retirement plan to 83% of servicemen and women currently not eligible for the Thrift Savings Plan. It ensures that post commanders can permit members of the armed forces to carry firearms at DOD installations. Now, that was an acronym, Department of Defense Installations.
We'll accept that one, Congressman. That's fine.
Recruiting centers, and several other really good things, but it funds our military for the next couple of years.
Well, Tom, you know me. My concern is this thing called sequestration, which was put in place some years ago, and it cut $1 trillion from the budget over 10 years, 50% of it military, the other 50% from other items. And we've had trouble with it because it presents some uncertainty to the military. A few years ago, it caused some layoffs of some military personnel that, quite frankly, hurt the people that could least afford it. The low-ranking enlisted folks had to take time off without pay that they could ill afford. And the uncertainty part of it is, what are we backing up and protecting the country the way we should? And now, of course, we just came off of 2 years with a budget, so we were okay, and hopefully there's a two-year budget in place now. But what do we have to do to get rid of sequestration, Tom?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. You have to pass a new law to replace it. You have to repeal it and pass a new law. But let's talk about it briefly, because it's the 2011 Budget Control Act that contained this quote-unquote sequestration in it. There it literally caps on spending. And I have told you that I thought it was a misguided approach by Republicans and Democrats at that time, because what they were doing is they were forgetting the number one priority of our federal government. Number one priority is to protect this country and its citizens. You have to have priorities, Tom. If you don't have priorities, if you don't set them, then everything becomes a priority. And you said no politics, so I don't want to be partisan about it, but if you've got, and by the way, I don't have to be, because I know there are many Democrats who agree with me on this. Democrats and Republicans alike, it's just a different idea of leadership. I don't think it should be, hey, you give me $1 of spending from the defense budget, and I'll give you $1 from our discretionary civil program safety net thing. That shouldn't be what it is. We need to set our priorities. And when it comes to our defense, our national defense, Tom, and our military servicemen and women who are standing in harm's way to protect our freedoms, that is your priority, and it must be your priority. I think what you're seeing with the current mix that's happening in Congress, especially what I've witnessed firsthand in the House, you have people who understand that this needs to be the priority. And it's not just Republicans. I just told you, this thing passed 370-58, and you've got an article that shows what passed yesterday in the Senate was overwhelmingly bipartisan.
We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, does Congress have the stomach to stand up and say, let's put up a bill and let's pass it and let's get rid of this abomination that's called sequestration?
I don't know that I can give you that answer today. Unfortunately, politicians do one thing really well, and that's protect themselves, right? And I want to be careful, because there are some really good people on both sides of the aisle in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, and they will do the right thing for the right reasons. In fact, those people who are protecting themselves probably believe they're doing the right thing for the right reasons. I think in the short term, Tom, let's take this with baby steps. The first thing is make sure we fund our military adequately for the next 2 years. And then as you see this institutional change that's taking place in Congress, I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to the fact that when a John Boehner steps out and a Paul Ryan steps in, that's not a leadership change. That is a generational shift that's taking place inside the institution. There are 247 Republican members of the 435-member U.S. House. More than 50% of us have been elected in just the last 5 years. There is a huge change taking place in Congress, and I think you're starting to see people who are coming into Congress that understand there must be priorities, and the number one priority of our federal government is to protect this country and our citizens.
Tom, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to ask you a couple of questions that maybe some of our citizens don't think about. From my research, it looks to me like being a member of Congress is not a piece of cake. You must be putting in long, long hours in the documents that you have to read through out there. How do you do it?
Well, I mean, first off, I was trained to do this. My career before I got into public service trained me how to do the research, how to know what it is you're working with, work with policy. Second, you got to love people, Tom. And I thought, as I said when we started this, I thought my political life was over. My public service was over after a certain statewide interview in 2010. I had gone off to do the private sector thing only to be called back by this job. And you're right. A lot of people think it comes with all these perks. No, the biggest perk is getting to serve the people of the state of Minnesota. And from that standpoint, if you like people, and I do, I love to find out who they are, where they come from, what drives them, what they're interested in, try to help make sure government gets out of the way to all extent possible to let them reach their full potential. It's a job, though, that you know, everybody thinks you go to Washington, D.C., then you come home and you got the weekend. No, this is a 24-7. There's a political drive-through that's open every day in my office. You know, I can be on the street and somebody will walk up and say, hey, Tom, I got an issue with the VA I need to talk to you about. I had this at graduation parties last spring with one of my kids. And you know what? It's great because it's really good, Tom, when somebody has an issue and you're able to help them out and they call you later and say thanks.
Tom, I think it was a good thing that you had a few years on this side of the microphone, and now when you're dealing with the media, you know what they're up to, so it's a little easier.
So you think.
Tom, we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Congressman Tom Emmer from Minnesota's 6th Congressional District about all things from Congress and Washington, D.C., and putting this Minnesota boy out there in the middle of all those sharks.
Yeah. No, it's been a learning experience, Tom, but it's been a good one.
Tom, how partisan is Congress? Is it as bad as we read?
No, it's not, but it never is. You know, everything that comes through the prism of the mainstream media. Sadly, in this country, it seems that if you're going to report that, hey, Tom, an audience, it's a beautiful day outside, the flowers are blossoming, and everybody's happy, that doesn't sell. You know, and what you find is if you have conflict, oh, boy, you know, that sells. My wife used to come with me once a session when I was in the Minnesota legislature, and she'd sit on the bench and spend the day with me, and we'd go home and you know, the 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock news would come on and Jackie would be like, that's not what happened down there. It's a lot the same. There are definitely some partisan squabbles. But the vast majority, and I've tried to do this, when I got there in January, I asked my staff to start setting up meetings with Republicans and Democrats alike, starting with my subcommittees, then going to my full committees, and then we're branching out beyond that because it's all about relationships, Tom.
Tom, I want to ask you about you reached across the aisle and you were working with Congressman Tim Walz and introduced some legislation and dealing with some issues at the St. Cloud VA Hospital.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of compliments for Congressman Walz, my colleague. Not only has he been there now, I could tell, you know, look at me, I'm a freshman. He's long in the tooth now. He's been there for a few terms, but he's experienced, you know, he's on the Armed Forces Committee. And he's taken the VA issue personally, which I appreciate. We have an issue in St. Cloud where there was a whistleblower a couple of years back who works at the St. Cloud VA and had some issues with the management. The Inspector General's office comes in, does an investigation. They substantiated some of the complaints. They discounted or found out that some of the other ones were not with merit. So they ended up with a couple of these that then they went back to management. They set up an action plan to address them, these management issues that they did confirm. And then the report, Tom, the report just goes on a shelf. It doesn't get made public.
Wasn't disclosed at all.
Right. Well, and that's not because anybody was trying to hide something. That's just because there's no requirement at this point, and really no, there hasn't been in the past any expectation that the IG would release this report. Well, problem was, within the past several months, somebody in the media doing their job, which you would expect them to do, served a Freedom of Information request, and lo and behold, this report is turned over. So immediately everybody thinks, well, why were they hiding this? What's going on? Tim, you know, I worked with Congressman Walz because, again, he's on the Armed Services Committee and the VA has been his wheelhouse now for a while. We got together, went to the St. Cloud VA, had a meeting with employees, had a meeting with management, had a meeting with the employees' representatives. We definitely got a feel for what's going on in the St. Cloud VA. Some of these issues are still outstanding, it appears. Management has been working hard to address them, but there seems to be a lack of trust that has grown on both sides. So give them credit. You know, when Congressman Walz and I got done, we asked all parties involved if they would submit to federal mediation, and they agreed to. So hopefully that's moving towards a conclusion. But the VA, Tom, the VA has some major challenges that have to – we just have to remain vigilant and make sure that we take care of whatever issues exist in whichever VAs have issue so that our military servicemen and women and our vets get the care that we have promised to provide.
I want to ask you a little more about that, Tom. The VA, the St. Cloud VA Medical Center stands alone. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system consists of the Minneapolis VA hospital and the outpatient clinics around the state. So they're two separately managed organizations. Right. So what we're finding in St. Cloud isn't necessarily part of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But across the system, across the country, we've got pockets like Phoenix that have some real issues.
Right.
But the press makes it paints the picture that the entire system is broken and not working. And yet when you go talk to the people that go like to the Minneapolis VA, and I'm one of them, they treat us fantastically, and I can get an appointment there just as quick as I can get it from a private doctor.
Thank you for that, Tom, because one of the things I was cautioned by vets up in the Stearns County area. In fact, I was in St. Joe, I want to say 2 or 3 days before we had these meetings at the St. Cloud VA, and meeting with several residents up in St. Cloud. One of them told me, Tom, be very careful. Please do not paint with a broad brush. Please understand, I go to the St. Cloud VA. My providers are fantastic. It's personal. I have a relationship. I understand there are other problems, and they need to be addressed. But please don't paint with that broad brush so that everybody thinks that everything is wrong with the VA. I've got that. But, Tom, if there's just one vet who has been harmed by malfeasance, misfeasance, negligent acts, or, you know, this terrible story from out of Phoenix. You can't ignore that, and you can't sugarcoat that. And I really think that we are not doing our job right now in Washington to hold them accountable. The people that are responsible do need to be held accountable, but you're right. We don't need to paint with a broad brush. There are some wonderful people in these institutions who are committed to giving the top rate care to our military men and women.
And there's some discussion in Washington about shutting down the whole system. And I think that'd be a terrible mistake because 99% of it or somewhere in there is doing quite well. We just need to fix the rest of it. As you say, if one veteran dies because he doesn't get in time, that's one too many.
We got a problem. Yeah. And we need to address it. But remember, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes, sir. We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, we've got just a few minutes left. I want to ask you, Veterans Day, what did you attend some events?
I did. I had a great day yesterday, or last week, sorry. I started out at St. Michael Albertville High School. And I got to tell you, they did it right. It was one of the best programs that I've ever been a part of. 1,800 students filled the gym. You've got all these great, and by the way, the post up there, the Legion post in St. Michael, I know I'm biased, so across the state, my apologies, they got the best color guard going. And I tell them that all the time. Bartle leads it, and the rest of these guys are awesome. But they did it right, Tom. They put together a video that they showed to all the kids before they came into the gym to get them in the mindset of who it is we're celebrating and we're honoring. That was great unto itself. But then in the afternoon, I got to go back to my alma mater, St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. And Mike DiPulio and Headmaster Mose, they did it right, too. It's obviously a different setting. It's a military academy, and they honored two of our graduates, Moritz and Weir, Denny Weir, with something called the Fleming Medal. Fleming is a graduate of the academy who has the highest honor awarded soldier from the academy. And the academy's got a long list of alums who have served in our military and achieved big things. It was a great day.
Tom, glad you had a good day on Veterans Day. You and I have talked many times before, and I know you've always had a deep respect for those who served in the military in this country. And now, a member of your family has joined the Navy.
I did. My son, Joe, my fourth son. We have six. Fourth son, Joe, who graduated from Delano High School last year, he actually enlisted in the Navy before his senior year. He went to boot camp this summer. Down in Great Lakes. He graduated in September, and he was shipped off to Pensacola, where he started A school last week. So Joe is now Airman Emmer in our United States Navy.
And I wish the listeners could see you. You're a proud dad, aren't you?
Oh, you have no idea. I'm going to see Joe. I got to see him briefly down in Great Lakes. And by the way, it's something I'm going to do again. I went down for the graduation ceremony, and they wanted me to do the presentation. And I told him no, because I didn't want it to be about my kid. So I sat in the back and watched it, but I realized when I got done, what a mistake. These young people who have volunteered to serve this country, we need to have members of Congress and anyone in elected office that has the time. And frankly, forget it, if you have the time, make the time. You got to show up and you got to celebrate these kids when they finish this program and when they're stepping out into service, real-time service, on behalf of you and me, Tom. And that was a mistake, but for me, I'll go back, I'll do that again, and I'll continue to do it. But Joe, we're going to go spend Thanksgiving in Pensacola with Joe and get the lowdown on A school and hear all about watching the Blue Angels that I told you about, as he described how you're on the ground and you see the shadow, and then boom, it comes over the top of you. So,
Tom, we've had stories for all the 5 years we've been on the air about the young people in this country that take the oath, join the military, and risk their lives to serve our country. And I know, as I said, you've always had deep respect for that, but really strikes home when it's one of your own, doesn't it?
You know what? It did it beforehand. I don't know what happened to me, but I didn't have the opportunity to serve. I suppose I could have signed up, but I grew up in one of the greatest peace times this country has ever seen, right? After I got a St. Thomas Academy, we have different times now. And not only do I have a new respect for our veterans, those of us who have served, and some families who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but these young people, anybody who tells me that the young people in this country don't get it, they haven't been to one of these ceremonies. They get it. These are patriots. They understand freedom isn't free, and they're willing to stand up wherever and whenever this country needs them.
Tom, about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners? No, all over Minnesota.
I'm just going to tell you, when is the next award coming for Minnesota Military Radio? Because you do it right, Tom Lyons. You do it right every week. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being the voice that our military so desperately needs all around this state, and getting out the word when bills like this are getting passed, when benefit issues come up, when there are issues with the VA. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir, and we're certainly glad to have you out in Washington, D.C., working for all the people in Minnesota, especially all those people over in the 6th Congressional District. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Congressman Tom Emmer from the Minnesota's 6th Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We're going to visit with Tee It Up for the Troops next. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update on Tee It Up from the Troops from J.B. Ball. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Thank you to those who attended the official State of Minnesota Veterans Day program at the Veterans Memorial Community Center in Invergrove Heights. It was a great day, which started with a special three-hour live Minnesota Military Radio Show broadcast. Veterans and community members gathered together to enjoy a free breakfast, followed by a formal program. Also, a big thank you to our co-sponsor for the event, the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, for another great year. Finally, thank you to all you veterans for your service.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalado. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Tee It Up for the Troops believes in engaging and inspiring communities across the United States to do great things on behalf of the military men and women who have served and sacrificed so much for our freedoms. Tee It Up for the Troops combines golf events with an inspirational ceremony, instilling a sense of pride, honor, respect, and appreciation for all those who have served and given so greatly. And joining us now is the founder of Tee It Up for the Troops, J.B. Ball. J.B., welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Honored to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
It's been a while. We'll have to get you on the show a little more often.
Love to. Anytime.
Can you give us a little background? How long have you been around now, and what's Tee It Up for the Troops up to?
Well, we're just finishing up our 11th year now. We started in 05 when my son was in Bakuba. He had quit college and enlisted in the military, but when he deployed, friends and family asked what he could send to him, and his response was, forget about me, do something for the families and the soldiers back home. So,
and you listened.
To honor that request, we thought we'd get a few people together, and it's kind of taken off on us for the last 11 years. We've been really honored to do it.
So this just started out with a golf tournament, and it's gone crazy since.
Yeah, we joke. We thought maybe we were just going to paint somebody's house or shovel somebody's driveway and do something simple, but it's become much, much more than that.
So over 11 years, how many events and how much money have you raised?
Well, this year we did a little over 30 events in a number of different states across the country, from upstate New York to San Diego and from Miami to Anchorage. So it's crisscrossing the country, and it's just, your opening said it, it's about getting the community engaged, about recognizing who the military individuals are in their community and letting them know that they appreciate what they're doing.
Now, J.B., I know you've got a financial wealth management practice.
Yeah, we try not to bring that into the conversation very often.
Well, but I want to see where the balance is here.
Yeah.
You're working full-time on your business, but every time I talk to you, you're coming back from an event somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. When I was running the marathons, it was 5:30 in the morning, get up, run. That was my prayer time and my private time and kind of creative time. Then 7 o'clock to 11 is kind of the real job, work through lunch, and then start on the real job again until about 4, and then make your follow-up calls. But you're running a nonprofit too, so you understand the commitment and you fill it in where you can.
You and I have to learn how to say that word that's spelled N-O. I still don't know how to say it.
So. If it's a passion of yours, I think it comes out. And I've had your conversation. You and I have had this conversation before. And if it's a passion, you're doing it for the right reasons. You get as much out of it as the time commitment. So.
Now, your organization has evolved to an organization that does events all over the country. And you've got a lot of organizations that you support all over the country.
We do. We've now contributed to probably in the vicinity of about 300 different organizations across the country. But part of that is that when we do an event, we try to have 50% of the proceeds from any one of those events stay in the active community and where it's raised. We want the sponsors
local
that get involved in the event to actually go out and deliver the check. They're not sending it to some black hole in Minnesota and we're doing something with it. We want them delivering it, seeing them face-to-face on where that money is going so they keep coming back year after year after year.
So can you give us an example of the organizations that benefit from your donations?
Locally here, there's the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There is the...
I think I know that one.
Paw Pads for the service dog side. You got the Yellow Ribbon Communities. We help out with the Lakeville operation quite a bit. You've got Majestic Hills for the equestrian side of it. You've got a number to MACV. We do the stand-on event over at Fort Snelling. We help out with the food service over there. Have for years, the Fisher House, we've donated golf carts to them to let the families not have to rent a car. They can go back and forth to their appointments without that expense. And every Fisher House that opens in the country gets a golf cart from Tee It Up for the Troops to help offset that expense.
That's a great organization. Yeah. Now, J.B., I know now that you've got a board of directors and you've got some folks there and you're very careful in how you do things, but how do you vet the request for donations?
Well, anybody can go online now. Originally, it was just a few of us on the board that we just looked at different organizations and talked to them. We actually searched them out a lot of times to try and see what their wish list was and try and fill that wish list. But now that we've grown to a point, we really have to evaluate what's coming through. So there is actually a donations committee on the board, and then there's an outside person that also puts their 2 cents in to take a look at what comes through, because we get requests every week now for people looking for money. It's interesting that since 9/11, I think there's 40,000 military nonprofit organizations that have popped up. They're all over the place. And some are going to have to go through this growth phase, but we've been able to incubate some of those. So a lot of them keep coming back to say, what else can we do with you, or how can we partner with you?
You know, we've cautioned our listeners many times over the years to be careful with your giving. It's great if you want to donate some money, but you know, go to Charity Watch or go to Charity Navigator, find out who they are, find out what their expense ratios are, and be intelligent and informed.
I agree. Well, people ask me that, and they say, you know, JB, there's a lot of them out there. How do I evaluate it? And I said, why don't you ask them if they can give you the name of a veteran that they've been involved with? If they can do that, keep talking to them. And the next question you ask them if they can name a spouse. Now, if they can name the veteran and the spouse and a child, they're probably pretty engaged with what they're doing. But it's just kind of a real simple test.
Sure is. We're speaking with J.B. Ball from Tee It Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. J.B., I want to spend the rest of this interview talking about the good that you've done. And I think we can talk about that in the context of you've got an event called a reunion event. Can you tell us about it?
We do. As a nonprofit, we've chosen 4 charities that we've been really very engaged with: the Fisher House, Disabled Sports USA, Warfighter Sports, and then Hope for the Warriors. They each give us something that we can do nationally and give us access to the hospitals that we can't get being a Minnesota-based organization. And they've been involved with us for the reunion down in Orlando, Florida. And the Reunion Golf Resort has been involved with us for many years. They used to donate as one of our silent auction items. And then they came back to us and said, can you do something a little bit more with us? And I said, well, considering it's at the reunion resort, why don't we do a reunion? And a lot of these men and women who serve together have not seen each other for years, even from current conflict, but it's really about World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Panama, Bosnia, first Gulf War, current conflicts. Somebody that you haven't seen for a while that you served with, that you really want to get back together with and spend a couple days with. That's what this reunion is all about.
When you get out and you're on your own, you lose that camaraderie.
You do, and you need that response coming back from the individual that you served with. You need that association, that friendship. And you lose some of it over Facebook and on the phone or a text message. You see them face-to-face. Last year, we had 67 veterans show up. We started out, we thought we'd just get 20 veterans and 20 foursomes, and we foursome was $4,000. We have $80,000, and we can bring everybody in and cover our expenses and have a little something extra. But Fisher House has been very loyal to us, helping out with some of the mileage. Our nonprofit partners each sponsor a foursome. So it's really a coalition of nonprofit partners work together to make this happen. And we have actually had some amazing, amazing stories come out of that people had showed up at the airport, and they might have been set up to have a reunion with someone, and they recognized somebody else that they served with or somebody else that was at the hospital just as they were leaving, but they made that connection. A lot of emotion over the 3-4 days that we have in January.
JB, before we went on the air, you told me the story of a gentleman, a veteran, that was in a dark place.
We had an event in Dallas for Veterans Day yesterday. We had one there. We had another one in Florida with Fiddlesticks Golf Course and then Bent Tree in Dallas. And one of the individuals, because we had 67 veterans last year, I like to try and say that there are no strangers, they're only friends you've never met. And trying to connect with 67 of them last year was difficult to do. And I remembered this young man from last year, but I never really had a chance to talk to him. And so a couple times in the tee box, as I was driving around passing out cigars, I just pulled him aside, said, how are things going? He said, have you got a minute? And I said, sure. So we stepped away from all of the others, and he pulled me aside in just a quiet setting. And he said, I just want to let you know that the lights were off in my house right up until about 2 days before that reunion. And he said, I was in a really dark place, and it was not comfortable for me at all. I wasn't socializing. I wasn't getting out of the house. I wasn't doing anything. But I did want to connect with the individual that was to be this reunion was all about. And he said, my 10-year-old son told me, Dad, you've got to go. And he said, since that time, I have been out golfing, socializing. I'm engaged. My family is benefited from it. He said, I just want to tell you, keep doing what you're doing.
You saved one, JB.
Well, it's not me. There's a lot of really good people out there, and you and I have talked about that, too, and that's if you give people an opportunity to give or an opportunity to serve, people say, what can I do? We tell them to go out and play a round of golf. How difficult is that to do? Well, I'm looking at you. You and I might struggle with that a little bit. But
I can hit the ball, but I don't know where it's going, JB.
But to do that, just come out and be part of it. If you come out for the ceremony, that's a big part of our golf event. It sets it aside to have a ceremony with a bagpiper and the honor guard. And we had over 20 Gold Star parents out there. And when you really realize what the true sacrifice is that these veterans do and the family members give up, to keep engaged with that, it means a lot to have the community backing that piece of it.
JB, we just got about a minute left. Do you need volunteers? Any final thoughts for our listeners?
We're looking for anybody that wants to support the troops, whether they want to volunteer for the golf event. This year we did a new event we called Foam of the Brave, and we had 10 of the local craft beer organizations out and did a craft beer festival, which got great response. Chris Hockey from KFAN came out and played, and we worked with a group called Creative Vets, which we send veterans down to Nashville to meet with the country music writers and tell their story and have it their song put to music. And so there were volunteers out there that came out to volunteer for the music side of it, whether it's for the beer side of it, whether it's for the golf side of it. They can go online and take a look at what they're doing, sign up to be a volunteer for anything, even during the year when we're trying to do additional events.
Your website?
www.teeitupforthetroops.org.
Pretty easy. If you don't get all of that, just Google Tee It Up for the Troops. You'll get to the website. Take a look at it. They're doing a lot of great work. And JB, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks again for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
It's JB Ball for Tee It Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We're going to get an update from the Minnesota National Guard's Command Sergeant Major in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Tom, and it's great to actually be back in the studio and to be sitting in the same chair here that the Congressman was just in.
Well, we had a nice discussion with Tom Emmer. I think he's a big asset to Minnesota out in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see him again.
And J.B. Ball's always doing a nice job with Tee It Up for the Troops. So it's fun to have you in the studio to listen to some of that stuff, Sergeant Major.
Well, it absolutely is fun. You know, he was joking about the golfing, and I don't know, my game probably lumps right in behind yours.
Well, we'll see. I did get out a few times this year, so I could take you on sometime, Sergeant Major, in golf.
I look forward to that.
We better get some business done, sir. In the news recently or over the course of the summer, we've seen things about what the press is calling paid patriotism. And the suggestion in all of those press reports is that there's something amiss and that perhaps some of the military is paying for some of these military appreciation days. And you and I talked about this before we went on the air. It's really a false impression, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, absolutely. There are contracts that, certain organizations will have with, let's just say, the professional sports teams, because that's what that really was all about. But those are contracts for actual advertising and marketing. And the paid patriotism, as it's called, and speaking for the National Guard's relationship with our professional sports teams here, I will tell you that everything that they are doing for us as far as recognition of our veterans, our service members, at the game, outside of the game, everything that they're doing is all work through community relations in conjunction with our public affairs office, and there's no money exchanging any hands whatsoever. That's not a part of the contract.
So here in Minnesota, when you see the Vikings or the Gophers or somebody has a military appreciation day and there's some troops on the field and they give away some tickets occasionally, there's no money exchanging hands for any of that.
There's no money exchanging hands, and you heard General Nash specifically mention about the Timberwolves and the Vikings in his pre-show, generally speaking, and thanking them. And, of course, the Minnesota Wild, they're great supporters of us as well, and they do a service member of the game at every home game, and that we don't pay for that.
But they've requested that through your public affairs
officer.
They
have requested that through our public affairs. And, of course, we're not going to say no because it's good to have our service members out in the public so that the public can continue to see us and not forget about us.
Now, totally separate from those military appreciation days, You do have some recruiters here in Minnesota because you've got to replace a lot of Army and Air National Guardsmen every year so that you can keep up to force. And they do have a budget. And just like any other company, occasionally they'll go buy some posters or they'll do some things to keep the general public aware of the fact that the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard do need to recruit and add soldiers and airmen every year.
Absolutely. It is a business, and we have to maintain that visibility within the public, and you have to get your name out. And I'll go back to the professional sports. You know, I was just down at the military appreciation night for the Minnesota Wild game this past week, and walking around the Xcel Energy Center, you'll see the pillars are all wrapped. On one side is a Minnesota Wild player. On the other side is a soldier from the Minnesota Army National Guard, you know, just to show that, you know, here we are and talk about, you know, diversity is one of our big topics. And we've got a whole diverse population of people that work for us in the Minnesota National Guard. And you get to see that when you walk around the Xcel Energy Center, you look at those pillar wraps.
Just like you look at ads for all the other corporations that advertise in conjunction with one of those games.
Absolutely right. Yep, you'll see it up on the big scoreboard. A number of different sponsors or people that pay for advertisement in there. But if it's in print, generally, things like that, that's something that's paid for. But when you see someone down on the ice doing some event like this military appreciation deal or a service member of the game, that is all out of the goodwill of the Minnesota Wild or whatever the sports team is. That is their community relations asking for us to participate.
Thanks for that clarification, Sergeant Major. It is November, and it's hunting season. Are you going to engage in any of that this year?
I am going to engage in some hunting this year. However, what I've decided to do, maybe you'll say I'm taking the easy way out, but what I've decided to do is trade in my rifle for a camera, and I'm going to escort my son and hopefully be able to get some good footage of him getting his deer this year.
I was going to ask you if you've qualified at the range lately, Sergeant Major.
Well, I qualified this past summer with my pistol, not the rifle. But and I know you're going to ask, and yes, I did. I shot expert.
I would expect nothing less, Sergeant Major. We just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, because of the week that we're wrapping up, I want to say thank you to you for your service, and obviously to all of our service members, all of our veterans everywhere. Thanks for for their service, everyone's service, and we really, really appreciate everything that our service members do for us.
Thank you, Sergeant Major.
You bet, Tom. Thank you.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Congressman Tom Emmer, J.B. Ball, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Sheletow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to Vietnam Veterans of America and learn about the Minnesota Army National Guard's Warrant Officer Program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.